Welcome to This Is Madness.
It'll be destroyed for sure. This is madness.
Of This Is Madness pod. I am Mark Seib, your co-podcaster, I guess you'd say. Manning equipment and a fellow co-podcaster is Noah Outlaw. And then we have a good group of co-podcasters as well this evening. But first, let me tell you a little bit about what we are. Generally, this is just, imagine a group of Star Wars friends in a bar or when Noah's concerned on the playground. And talk about whatever comes to mind, anything and everything goes. So one topic to start off, and that's kind of been picked from tweets. This one actually was something Pete Morrison was tweeting about recently. And then the person who will start us off on that topic has already been selected, and I'll tell who that is in just a moment. But other than that, it's just a free-form conversation between friends and fellow Star Wars fans. It may not always be about Star Wars, but it will be to start. So with that,
okay.
Noah,
I have
go
the
ahead
list that I made the
everybody.
Other day, which was, come on, that was like some pretty legit looking, you know, Photoshop. That lineup. Okay, so Amanda Ward from. Okay, would you say you're from Now This Is Podcasting? Okay, so. Well,
no. Okay, I've never been on that show.
But you have a new podcast with Tracy, MSW, Rebel Girls. That's what it's called, right? Rebel Girls, and then MakingStarWars.net.
Yeah,
I just butchered that intro. Very sorry. And then Trooper
Hello.
Tim, which is what I call him because I don't know what to call him. I feel weird calling him Trooper. I feel weird calling him Tim. Tim from Kessel Run Radio, and my website StarWarsTime.com. How you doing? And Jesse.
I'm doing fine.
Oh, yeah, and Score Tracks. I'm so sorry.
Let's not forget Score Tracks.
Hey,
come on.
Yeah, I was about to say that, too. So. Thanks, producer.
Jesse Tease Chop. Is that how you say your last name? All right, I was just making...
It's pronounced Chop. The T-S is silent.
He hasn't finished phonics yet, so...
Oh.
And then MakingStarWars.net, right?
It's different over there.
Awesome. So MakingStarWars.net... And
yes.
Andrew actually is not on. He's sleeping, according to Mark. And Mark Zett, Hacky Sack from Jedi News. And he's also Kessel Run Radio. Can you say that you're officially a person on that show? Wow, I see where
Sadly,
we're going.
Yes,
here.
I can.
And Jedi Hunter 66, Imperator. I can never say this. When I was making this, I was trying to pronounce this. And I don't know why I can't say it. Maybe I haven't, it's not my reading level yet, but Imperator Matt, and then we have Ron, Matt, whatever, Ron Solo, CP,
Matt.
Yeah, who, right, from MakingStarWars.net, right? Right, Ron?
That's right, go Asians.
Go Asians. Mark Seib, Kessel Run Radio. Now this is podcasting, right? You're like
no
pretty well. You're I consider you.
I don't do the music. Well, I don't do the music anymore. They've got the techno stuff going on. But let's real quick plug for Ron and Andrews and my my article, the Star Wars Car Trader Weekly Roundup, and then Score Tracks. This.
Yeah.
Travesty, everything. So,
hey, Kessel Run Radio. Come on now.
In Kessel Run Radio.
Boom. And,
I've seen a theme here with that show.
Yeah, seriously. And Jared J. Slowly. I don't know. Is that your real name?
No.
Okay.
I'm Jared Jones. I work at a comic company, and I love Star Wars and drew the banner for the Now This Is Podcasting site.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you totally did that. I totally
awesome, John.
Yeah, it was that's
amazing
really
cool. Banner.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Let's not forget Captain Rex on the Velociraptor, please.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And, you know, his Twitter is Joaquin Slowly. And then, yours truly.
What?
Is that not Joaquin, right? Joaquin, Joaquin?
That's right.
There you go. Get it?
Joaquin. I say Joaquin. I'm sorry. I'm from Texas, y'all. That's how we say it. And then, yours truly, Noah Outlaw. Outlaw Noah. Let's see. I have a review on MakingStarWars.net, which was awful. I own StarWarsTime.com. I produce Score Tracks. I co-host Kessel Run Radio. I co-host this show. I'm a writer for Rebels Report. I wrote a few articles there. And I run this hoe, okay? So.
Okay. And
you run the playground.
Oh. Oh, and I since Jared said where he works, I work at AMC Movie Theater, and I play Battle Pod all the time because we have one there. So, anyways,
I'm not even
okay. Saying. Mark, are you ready to give the topic and who's gonna start?
I am. Okay, so with that, the person that we have selected for the opening commentator on the topic is Amanda Ward, and Ward.
Yay! I knew it.
And the topic. The topic is the prequels. With all the discussion in the past week concerning Simon Pegg and his distaste for the prequels, J.J. Abrams plugging, you know, the amount of non-CGI work in the film. What's your thought on Simon Pegg as a spokesman?
As a human being.
For the Star Wars franchise.
First of all, Mark, I have to say, this is kind of rude, because you and I go way back. Like over 10 years, and you know that I would pop off on this topic, and that's why you picked me. But that's okay. No, regarding Simon Pegg, honestly, yeah, I know you do. Honestly, like I just wish that we didn't give him any attention at all. I think he's a little attention whore, and I think that he isn't worth giving the time of day as far as his opinion. It really kind of. Bothers a lot of people, so
he
why engage with it?
He burns for Star Wars, Amanda.
Sure. I'm sure he burns with a lot of other things, too, when the camera's in front of his face. He's going to say whatever is going to get him the most publicity. He's an actor. So, I don't know. I don't care. He's an old dude, and that's how old dudes act, and it doesn't bother me. It is! Don't act like you're any different. I don't know. I just...
Okay, But Amanda, what do you think about the fact that they're clearly somewhat using him for publicity?
Yeah.
That it's almost like it's a talking point, and this is the talking point that they're going with?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
I mean, I have spoken about, you know, in other places about how all the push about practical effects is just, it's obviously over the top, trying to engage with one audience and excluding another audience of the Star Wars fandom. And then you pick someone who is as both influential and notorious, I don't want to say notorious, but kind of rage-inducing as Simon Pegg. They're clearly going down a path that's looking to excite some people and get a lot of other people mad and talking about Star Wars. Like, the point is to talk about it and to make it a big deal, which, let's be honest, Star Wars markets itself, so you don't really have to go all out like that, but I don't know. It's frustrating that they're going this way, but I know I'm not the core audience that they're trying to grab, so I kind of understand why it's not aimed at me.
So, let's see. Who else? Ron. Noah. What?
Who's talking?
Ron, what do you think about Simon Pegg?
Well, to be honest, I don't have strong thoughts about it. I kind of feel like when Dave Filoni let him appear in the Clone Wars and let him play Dengar, there's a little bit of they're okay with him, and he's annoying, in my opinion. And I get why everybody gets upset about it, but obviously Lucasfilm doesn't seem to mind him. It's hard for me to feel too strongly about it, but I agree with Amanda. I just feel like he doesn't really need a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
Zach, you there?
Is Mark Zahecki saying?
Mark?
Yeah, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts are...
I'm going to call you Zach, because if people say Mark, then...
Yeah, it's fine. But if you're saying Mark, I know who you mean.
All right.
I'm expecting a comment from him in the next 2 days, since we just heard that no Metachlorians in the Force Awakens comment. I'm sure Simon Pegg is going to be jumping up. I know he's done work on his own, obviously. He's Shaun of the Dead and all that, but it's nice to know J.J. Abrams and be put in Mission Impossibles and The Force Awakens. I wish I knew the right people. I wish I could bash. The more I bash, like Ron said, he bashed, and then he got into the Clone Wars. Now he bashed again. He's in The Force Awakens. He's in... Who have we heard talk in the trailers?
Snoke.
We've heard Mark Hamill and Simon Pegg.
Simon, wait.
And that's about it.
No, but we heard...
In the behind the scenes.
Yeah, and whoever was in teaser one, which we aren't sure. Probably, yeah.
But I mean, it was a deliberate face shot of him talking
in that alien
outfit.
He burns for Star Wars.
Yeah, he burns for Star Wars. And tell me who here would not burn for Star Wars.
Well, yeah, if you're in Abu Dhabi desert.
I would suck it up and be in any one of those costumes, even if I was burning.
They showed his face on purpose. It was an accident.
Yeah. Because they knew that in this community, how he reacts to the prequels, and now everybody knows how he reacts to the prequels. So obviously, they're going to get a little whatever publicity you could say. Hey, Gabriel Gray is watching or listening. Watching. I wish you could watch the podcast. That'd be cool.
Hey, Jared, what's your thoughts?
You know, I don't feel quite as strongly as some of you guys. I like some of his work, and I feel like I've seen the kind of fan who has the opinion that Simon Pegg seems to have, who kind of wrote off the prequels pretty early on and has a holier-than-thou attitude. And I think that they still have a lot of resentment, and it's I think it's childish and stupid, but at the same time, I just don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. Even though I don't feel it as strongly, I think the end result's the same. I wish they didn't use his voice as a spokesperson. And I think it's worth mentioning that video, I thought I remember hearing maybe on Novices Podcasting, hearing them say that it was made for the crew and that it wasn't actually recorded for San Diego. They didn't make anything for it specifically, and it was something they showed at the end of shooting.
Yeah.
So, it just sucks because it seems like all this is a real desert stuff, you know, at the beginning, and Simon Pegg's whole perspective. It feels like even on the set, they're still placating that vibe, even if it isn't for the mass public. They're still placating that small vocal minority that wants to just bitch about computer animation that they love and everything else.
I don't buy that was made for the crew, because if you watch any of the special features on the Star Wars Blu-rays, they all have the same feel to them. I mean, maybe he makes it for the crew, but I think in the end, he knows it's going to be seen by the mass public. And the one, the one for the first Star Trek that he did, 2009 Star Trek, the behind the scenes and building everything, it felt the same exact way. So I don't buy that he's doing it for the crew, because the crew already knows if they're in a desert.
Well, I imagine too, on all the Star Wars movies, at some point they put something together and they show it at the wrap party, and then it probably ends up on the DVD. So it's probably the same situation here.
Well,
that makes sense.
I know they do that a lot with the gag reels and stuff. They're usually for the crew, and they'll throw it on the DVD or whatnot. But Jesse, have you? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, honestly, I kind of feel sorry for Simon Pegg, just because, I mean, if you go back to, like, when he was doing Spaced with Edgar Wright and Nick Frost, it's, like, watching that show, it's obvious that at one point they had, like, such a love for Star Wars, so for whatever reason, the prequels did something to that, and I kind of feel sorry that they put it on such a pedestal that they couldn't just enjoy them, and I think it's kind of ridiculous that he's been coming out against it, when really, I mean, it's Star Wars, but at the same time, there's other things to be upset about.
Yep.
Matt? This is Ron. Did I get like assassinated by Simon Pegg's people?
I think you did.
No lie.
I started talking to myself for a really long time. I was thinking great stuff.
Spitting gold.
Oh, no.
It was epic.
They tapped the network.
Matt, have you chimed in yet?
No, I have not, but Pegg, I'm not a fan of his. I personally don't really care for that many of his films. Like, I thought, was it The World's End Tavern was just really boring. Like, I couldn't even finish it. But I feel like he's one of those people that likes to hear himself talk and just, like, spewing his mouth and just getting under people's skin. So, kind of like Amanda said, if you don't give him attention, I mean, I'm guilty of giving him attention, because anytime he opens his mouth lately, I rage about it on Twitter, because I don't particularly like the guy, and Twitter is where I like to go to fuel my hate. But yeah, I mean, now I'm kind of just like, I don't want to give that guy the time of day. I just want to let him go about his business. He can say what he wants. He can hate rules. I know not everybody likes him, which is fine, but I'm not going to let it affect me. But I'm not a fan of him getting more work like was previously stated. You know, you can bash it and then you get put on the Clone Wars. And then you bash it again and then you land another role in the movie, you know. Get someone else who actually appreciates every piece of, you know, the saga, not some guy that's going to nitpick it apart.
Right.
Yeah.
I think my problem with him, too, is that he's so volatile, too. I mean, the guy's gone on Twitter, grabbed prequel action figures, flipped them off, and then tweeted a rage tweet about it, you know. It's like, you don't got to do that.
Right. And I think JJ has the same. I mean, I love JJ. He's really. I'm so glad he's directing Episode 7, The Force Awakens. But he kind of has the same mindset as Simon Pegg. Not as bad, he's not as outspoken about it, but he said before they'd done like the prequels. And so I think that's why they almost, I mean, obviously they were in Star Trek together, and they probably just clicked because they were both like, nah, no prequels, you know, it's all about original trilogy. So whenever JJ got the job, he obviously was like, Simon, let's go. You're going to get an Episode 7. And so, because they have the same mindset, so that makes sense why, you know, he is in the movie and everything. So,
well, like somebody said on Twitter, and I don't remember who it was, so forgive me, but you better blow it away with his Star Trek movie that he's writing, because if not, the backlash will be crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Is it true though that JJ actually has said specifically he doesn't like the prequels? Because yeah. I'm seeing a lot of kind of attributing to quotes like what he said at Comic-Con about what he considers canon and all of that, and I just, when did he actually say he doesn't like the prequels?
I'm not 100% sure when he said it, but I know I've seen an interview with him somewhere where he said that when he saw the prequels, they were disappointing. That's the word he used. He didn't say he didn't like them. He said they were really disappointing. So, you know, it's pretty much a nice way of saying, yeah, I don't like the prequels. You know.
But the difference is that he wasn't a dick about it. Yeah, like Simon. He went about it in a civil way. He didn't go spewing hate about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, real quick follow-up question. If you think about all the people that would claim to be Star Wars fans or say that they're Star Wars fans, what percentage do you guys think is original trilogy only?
Gee, there's a lot.
Wow.
Only?
Like, don't only. Like the prequels. Oh.
Definitely don't like the prequels. Don't like the Clone Wars or Rebels. Don't really care for any of the expanded universe, old or new. May be interested in the sequels, but the only people that, you know, they're clearly catering to the original trilogy crowd. But what percentage would you say of all of Star Wars fandom is original trilogy only? In your thoughts.
Out of people I know personally, I would say it's something like close to 60%. I mean, I know people really? All the time that say all the time that say I love Star Wars, except for the prequels. And I'm like, but I tend to think that they're just buying the, you know, vocal minority opinion that, oh, they're awful. And I mean, these are people I know that saw them once in the theaters and that was it. So it's hard for me to take their, you know, opinion seriously if they're not willing to at least go back and take a second look at them.
I'm sorry, who was talking?
That was Jesse.
All right, Jesse. Jared, what percentage do you think, you know, of people that you come into contact with?
It's kind of skewed. I think before when I lived in Phoenix, it was definitely said that more people considered themselves only original trilogy fans, but that was right after the Revenge of the Sith came out. Whereas now, I feel like up here, I know people who have small children who love Clone Wars and love who grew up on the prequels, and people who have teenagers who grew up on the prequels, and even if it's not their thing, they can appreciate it for what it is, and they consider it a part of Star Wars. And you know, when I watch the prequels with my brother and my nieces and my niece and nephew, like. My niece and nephew love it, and my brother will give Jar Jar guff, but he also sits through the whole thing. So
then do you guys think that we're kind of jaded by the Twitter sphere that we're in? Because I can't think of anybody that we interact with on a regular basis that is original trilogy only. Everybody seems to, for the most part, enjoy all of it.
See, I was going to say it's a low percentage, because the people I deal with, I can't think of anyone that completely, or that only likes the original trilogy. So for me, I would have said it was a low percentage. And yes, it might be something to do with knowing a lot of Star Wars fans of the whole saga, but to me, it's a low number. I was shocked to hear that 60%, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like a really optimistic number is 50-50. Honestly, I do. Because when you look at like the StarWars.com polls, constantly it's original trilogy characters that are winning polls on that site all the time.
Yeah.
By big margins. So I do think that we do, like Mark said, live in a sphere where there's a lot of fans of the entire saga, and we do hang out with a lot of people who just majority like everything. But still, I think optimistically it's 50-50, and I don't think that there's that many fans that like the prequels yet.
Yeah. No, for me, because before I joined the 501st Legion, I would say it was probably just from everyone I knew, it was like maybe 30-40% of the people I knew were just OT fans only. But then when I joined the Legion, there's a lot of older guys, older women in there that are in their 40s and 50s who only like the OT. They don't like the Clone Wars. They don't like the prequels. And that definitely upped up that number. So it's probably for me 50-50 now. You know, I'll go to an event and then I gotta hear people complaining about it, and I gotta bite my tongue so I don't get into an argument. And
you know, a lot to consider also is that Twitter is an echo chamber. You decide who you follow, and you get to unfollow and mute and block and all of that. And so typically what ends up happening is we all talk to ourselves and each other, who generally tends to agree. So I think that does tend to skew a lot of us in the online community. The other thing I think to consider is there are a lot of general consumers who liked Star Wars, who enjoy Star Wars, but maybe aren't as hardcore, obviously, as we are. And after the prequels, just not necessarily because of the prequels, but maybe life stage or whatever it is, just kind of moved on. Like, if you ask them, they'd say, oh, yeah, I like Star Wars, but you know, it's not a huge part of their lives on an ongoing basis, and I think a lot of them probably don't care for the prequels because probably the age demographic.
I think that's a really good point. I think that the people who I know who consider themselves like big Star Wars fans, I only know one who only likes the original trilogy. You know, like, the, you know, even offline, and I think that the people who do, as you're describing, enjoy the original trilogy, they think that I like Star Wars, but they don't walk around and think that they're a Star Wars fan. You know, their families don't get them Star Wars stuff for their birthdays and Christmas. They're not like us.
They're normal.
Well, going back to Mark's original question, I haven't met anybody who likes the prequels better and doesn't like Rebels, and I haven't met anybody who likes the original trilogy better and doesn't like Rebels. So if you're looking past just the two trilogies, there's always something else, Clone Wars, Rebels, the, you know, Zombooks, something that somebody likes. I don't think I've met anybody who likes only the original trilogy and that's it, and has at least tried to see Rebels or a book or something.
There's a ton of people on Card Trader that only like the original trilogy. Sorry, that's my world right now. I'm so engrossed. Damn. App that's the only, but there's people who are like, damn, I'm not going to collect this if it's got a Clone Wars character on it or a Rebels character on it, or why is this, you know, the award that, I don't know if anybody here, I assume most of you know what we're talking about, but one of the awards recently was for Quinlan Voss. Fantastic award, but you had people online complaining that, I don't know who this is, I had to look this up, this is the worst, you know, award I've ever seen. And it's like, how can you not like the breadth of Star Wars? You know, I have friends who don't even, they've seen the prequels, but they've never seen the original trilogy, which is astounding to me. But I have a friend that's the way he is. I don't see how it's not for everybody, and to just dismiss whole parts of it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Especially if you haven't seen it or you haven't given it a shot at all. And particularly also, you know, technically Voss was in episode one, so you got to throw that out there too. But
does anybody know the impact of the Clone Wars on Netflix? I mean, with some substantial numbers? Sure.
No, I mean, I don't know what the numbers are. I'm just saying, I know from talking to people that people who had never seen it, they watched a couple episodes on TV or something, but they didn't watch the series, have since gone through and watched the series.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the guy, I don't know how many of us follow him on Twitter, but there's a guy, Cad Bane, who constantly retweets, you know, people who are discovering the Clone Wars for the first time, and it seems like there's a fair number of people who are surprised that it's that good. I mean, it's something we've
still haven't known
all
watched along it.
Because we follow all of Star Wars. But is it that popular? Is it that popular? we're not counting you, Noah. You haven't watched all of the Clone Wars. But is it that popular that, you know, there may be a resurgence of Clone Wars on Netflix?
Well, there still is a Save the Clone Wars going on, you know.
Seems to die down a bit.
I don't understand that, but yeah. Rebels is great, and we moved on from Clone Wars to Rebels. And
not as good.
I love
not as good.
All right, so not we're comparing. Great. We're comparing one. Are you talking the full six seasons of Clone Wars, or are you talking season one versus season one?
Well, I'm just gonna talk about.
That's not fair.
Not fair to talk six whole seasons versus.
It's also not fair to compare season one to season one because season one of Clone Wars, they had no idea what they were doing yet. It was brand new.
And season one of Rebels benefited a lot from what they learned in six seasons of Clone Wars. But ultimately, it is difficult to compare because also from a semi-nostalgic point of view, right, we lost Clone Wars suddenly kind of right when it was getting really, really good for a lot of us. So I think there's an emotional tie where we're a little pretty upset about it. Whereas Rebels, they're still on the upswing, still figuring out their whole arc. We don't know where they're going. So I don't think it's that fair. But I mean, I tend to agree right now. The best of the Clone Wars is better than the best we've seen so far.
Yeah, but I think the best we've seen of Rebels is season 2, episode 1.
Oh, by far.
Yeah.
So for me,
we're just getting into the best, and there are some slower episodes of the Clone Wars. And I'm a fan, but yeah, Ron, you said we finally got into the best of the Clone Wars. Well, that was season 5, season 6 now. We're only on season 2 of Rebels. I think time will tell.
Right. I don't think anyone is saying, like, I'm writing off Rebels because it's not as good as Clone Wars.
Oh, no.
Yet. But I do think, it's fair for Clone Wars fans to say they're not satisfied yet with where Rebels is at compared to Clone Wars.
Okay.
And it'll probably take a long time for Rebels to get there, if it does.
Do you think it will help with adding Ahsoka and Rex to Rebels to help please Clone Wars fans?
For a certain group of Clone Wars fans, yes. That was not why I watched Clone Wars. I like Ahsoka and Rex, definitely, but I don't give a crap that they're in Rebels.
Mm. Okay. Wow, okay.
Why did you watch Clone Wars, Amanda? What was the draw?
Part of the draw was I was in a new relationship with my husband, and I was really happy and love about Star Wars, and I just wanted to watch anything. And that was kind of our thing, was to get to sit down every week and watch Clone Wars together. But obviously, my biggest draw to Star Wars is prequels. So to see Anakin and Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars, get to have more adventures, that was the biggest deal for me. That was awesome.
Okay, Amanda, do you think sitting down with your boyfriend at the time, now husband, helped you had that emotional feeling while watching that? Do you think that helped improve the Clone Wars for you? And if you just watched it by yourself?
I don't think so, because I could say in the same respect that I got to watch Rebels, like, you know, while I was pregnant with my children and sharing a home with my husband and all that stuff. There's a lot of emotional ties to Rebels for me as well, but I do think it played in somewhat to me liking both of the shows, but I don't think it made...
Right.
How is Luke taking to, cartoons. I don't know. Sorry, I cut out.
Yeah, I did too. We all cut out.
Yeah.
I think we all cut out.
Yeah.
But we're good. We can go back.
If you want to say your point
Jason
again,
cut up a pear for you and threw the pear slices in your mouth while you guys were watching Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Oh. Breaking
me. But the question is, did he use the Force to do it?
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask.
I'm going to say yes.
All right, so it's all right. They're saying that you and Jason have a relationship like Anakin and Padme around the dinner table in Attack of the Clones.
Oh yeah, duh. To
change, you know, stuff into you. Into your, yeah. Sorry, not into you. Into your crazy.
Crazy.
And we're off the
road. All right. On that note.
So quick question.
Okay, look, guys. I know. Quick question. Oh, who has a quick question?
No, hold on a second. So I'm going to take an informal poll. Amanda, first off, you. What's your favorite? Original trilogy or prequel?
Are you asking me? Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm asking you first. Yeah, if you have to, someone's got a gun to your head. Prequels or original trilogy? Decide.
Yeah. Prequels.
Original trilogy, no doubt.
Okay. Tim.
Original.
Ron.
Definitely original.
Matt.
Prequel.
Matt, really good. Jared?
I'd say original.
All right. Jesse?
Prequels because of Clone Wars.
I know what you mean, Jesse.
Yep.
Well,
it enhanced the entire story of the prequel trilogy and kind of just built it up. Mm-hmm. And now it just... That whole trilogy has a whole lot more depth because of the Clone Wars.
I always liked...
hours are involved in that than your 6 hours of the original trilogy.
Yeah, that's true.
Excellent point.
Think about all the hours of Obi-Wan and Anakin voiced by those voice actors and you know, written by Filoni and Lucas together and their staff. Like, that's the majority of the saga at this point in terms of just time.
Yeah, and I already like the prequels, but seeing that series really, like Jesse said, it really added something more to it and made me appreciate what goes on in the movies more by seeing what also went on between the movies.
No, Matt Lanter is my Anakin Skywalker.
Agreed. Yes, me too.
What?
Jared and I were just talking the other day. I said that when I visualize the prequel characters, I see the Clone Wars counterparts. I don't see the actual live-action actors. I see the animation versions.
No, for me, I've always been a prequel guy, but I actually came into the Clone Wars series late. I didn't start watching it until after it was canceled, because I was person. Same. And I binge-watched it, and after I binge-watched it, it's like no contest now. The prequel trilogy for me is like my favorite part of Star Wars.
Okay, well, now that we've got this part done, we need to move on because we got a great email from Johnny Grasso. Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
And it's actually a really good topic that I'm really interested in getting y'all's opinions on. And he's listening. So, yeah,
Hi, Johnny.
Because I can see
how do you know he's listening?
Who's listening. And he's been chatting with us. But y'all, yeah.
Dad.
Hey, Johnny.
So,
what's up?
Okay, so like I said, I'm not going to do the voice, and I'm going to try not to laugh when I read this.
I do have a quick question. Now, if he actually appears on his podcast, which he said he would, is the reality going to be dwarfed by by Randy?
Maybe we'll just have to...
the letters?
Yes, he has to be voiced by Randy.
He's going to be like a translator.
Otherwise, my world will be shattered.
But can we just have Randy on and Grasso?
Yeah, I think just have them on at the same time.
I kind of want Grasso to translate. Do Randy's version.
Yeah.
We could have Grasso. We could have Randy as Johnny Grasso and Johnny Grasso
that
himself.
That would definitely be worth it. All right.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm trying to.
Just read it straight. We're not stealing bits, okay?
I'm trying to pace myself, guys. I'm laughing already. First off, the cast of This
Great
Is
start.
Madness. Good luck, my fellow bro shakes. I wish you nothing but the best, and I will be a loyal listener. Last time I saw... Last time I saw nine guys and one gal together like this, I was at a bachelor party that I eventually got thrown out of because the young lady would not pay any attention to the other eight guys. But I digress. Let's continue our chat on Anthony and Gruber. I know most, if not all of you at this Is Madness Crazy Talk Batshit Crazy podcast like him for the Han Solo film. I cannot disagree more. I get that he looks like him, but it's not enough. And he does a good impression of him, but that's all it is. It's a hollow, no feeling, no emoting, no charisma having impression. He's a YouTube celebrity at best who got cast as basically an extra in a Harrison Ford movie flashback scene. Look, I'm pretty sure he's a nice guy, but look at his YouTube stuff. He does a lot of impressions, all pretty good, but impressionism is far, far, far from acting. And side note, you can tell he gives himself migraines contorting his eyebrows to look like Harrison Ford. You won't be able to do that for 12 hours shooting days. In closing, do not cast someone because they look like Harrison Ford. Cast someone who is charismatic, badass, who can act like Chris Pratt, Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper, etc., or even an unknown, as long as they are talented like the few I named. Thanks and sincerely, you're all great people, and I hope this is the first of many podcasts. Oh yeah, chicks dig me, Johnny Grasso. That was hard to get out. Okay, so, well, now that we have this topic, Anthony and Gruber, who all y'all are aware, right, of who that is.
Nope, don't care.
Yes.
He follows me on Twitter.
Somewhat, yeah.
If y'all didn't know. Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow. So, okay, let's see. Tim, what do you think of Anthony and Gruber's Han Solo?
Well, I mean, I don't have any issue if they decide to go with him. I would have more of an issue if they went with, like, Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, he was
rumored. Who was rumored a while back.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean...
That I couldn't that. Agree more.
I mean, one thing, I don't want it to be anybody who we can say his name right now and think of three movies that they've been in. Because, like, if it's Chris Pratt or something, I'm going to see Chris Pratt in a Halloween Han Solo costume, not Han Solo. And I want it to be somebody that can get into the character and not be taken out of the movie by the acting. Even if it's a good acting job,
right?
I want to be looking at the character.
Johnny Grasso, that email was amazing. But every single person that you listed, Ryan Gosling, Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper, and, I mean, I can't, obviously, an unknown I can't speak of because they're obviously unknown. They're all too damn old. Look. Okay, Harrison Ford, whenever they filmed A New Hope, was about 34. I think that's what I read the other day. And all of those actors are at least 34. So that wouldn't work. It's a young Han Solo movie. Which, okay, you could say, like, young. 34 is young. But I think by what they mean is a young Han Solo movie, they mean, like, a 20-year-old Han Solo. And Anthony and Gruber is 25. And I think... I would love it if they cast Anthony and Gruber as Han Solo.
You can't cast someone on their age,
though. I mean, no matter... No matter...
No.
I'm
okay, but okay,
almost,
Chris Pratt isn't going to shave his face and look 20.
So...
There you go.
Matt for Han Solo.
Yeah, I don't believe
Matt
Chris
for Han Solo.
I think everyone here would do it.
Matt
Amanda would do it.
Yeah, I'd do it. Or anyways.
You wouldn't play Han Solo if they were...
doing good.
If they were like, Amanda, we need you to play Han Solo.
I do not envy whatever actor has to take that role because no matter what, he's going to get so much backlash from people.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Oh, and we got people in the chat. Charlie Cox, the guy from Daredevil, for Han, which, okay, maybe.
I see it.
Yeah, I do too.
I could see that.
Daredevil was really good. So.
But he doesn't have much charisma.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
I don't think Harrison Ford is attractive. I know at one point he was considered an attractive man. At a point where tastes were different. There at the same time when like Michael Douglas was considered attractive. Harrison Ford was attractive. Now he's not attractive, obviously.
Amanda, when I was growing up, girls loved Harrison Ford.
I know, because he's a hero.
But girls in middle school loved Harrison Ford. They thought he was so handsome.
I know, and I agree that he was handsome at that time.
Look, Mark, we're not talking about the 60s, okay? We're talking about nowadays.
Oh, man.
Not that old, bitch.
I don't know. My point is now I don't think... Okay, you don't even get the point that I'm getting to. My point is all these baby-faced, like, handsome-ass dudes don't fit the role of Han Solo, in my opinion. It's more of like a Shia LaBeouf type. Not saying that I want him, but somebody who could be attractive but is actually just normal looking.
Look, and I have some... I have a name to throw out there that I'm not really sure how people are going to be react, because he kind of is... He's not really on the level as, like, Zac Efron, as in, like, Boy Toy, stuff like that. What? No, I didn't say Zac Efron. I did not say Zac Efron. Okay, yeah, Liam Hemsworth. Hunger Games. I think that he's the right age, which, Amanda, I know you say you can't cast by age, but no, yes, you can. Liam Hemsworth is perfect, and, I mean, he's Chris Hemsworth's brother, so he has to have something, right? And, I mean...
Dude.
I still have that issue of looking at him and seeing Thor's brother and not Han Solo.
Yeah.
No, but my big thing is...
Go ahead, sorry.
I don't care who they cast, as long as they can capture the spirit of, like, the character. Like, it's more important that they feel like them than necessarily look like them, if that makes sense.
Totally
it's
agree.
Like a character. Well, it's like a character.
Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like... Ewan McGregor with Ben Kenobi. He didn't look... In episode one, he didn't look anything like Alec Guinness. Like,
absolutely.
Not at
all.
Yeah.
Okay, but look at Chris McAvoy in the X-Men.
Yeah, guys.
He didn't do Shatnerism. He just played what Captain Kirk would be in his mind. And I thought it was pretty effective, but I don't know. Is Captain Kirk more of an icon than Han Solo?
No,
they're pretty on par, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say they're pretty equal. So, do you go with the caricature, or do you go with just make it your own, but within the realm of believability?
See, I don't want to see a super big name actor. Like, I mean, I love Chris Pratt. I think he's hilarious. I love Jurassic World. I thought that was amazing. But I don't want an actor like that put in as Han Solo, where I'm going to see him and think, oh, that's Chris Pratt in Star Wars. Or that's, you know, what was the name in Jurassic World? Owen in Star Wars, you know.
That's a good point. A lot of people feel that way, too.
Like, I would rather see an unknown actor that, you know, is good, but not a YouTube impersonator. I know, hold on a second.
Which dog is that?
I think that was Johnny's main point, was like, let's not cast a YouTube video maker.
Yeah, which I agree at one point. But the thing is, okay, Johnny did say that he was an extra, which I disagree with. I don't think he was an extra. He had his own little cut of that movie that was him. But still, Hollywood saw something in him to cast him as a young Harrison Ford.
Is this the Gruber kid?
Yeah. It's just become Noah sucking his dick, basically.
Whoa!
This is madness.
No, but what is
he
what
was
is
in Age of Adeline.
I'm sorry, what?
He came out with Blake Lively and Harrison Ford, where she got in a wreck or something, and then she lived forever and she never aged again. And basically, Harrison Ford, Anthony and Gruber plays a young Harrison Ford who starts, like, you know, gets in a relationship with Blake Lively, but then obviously she doesn't age and Harrison gets older, and then so he plays the young Harrison at the timeline, and then we see old Harrison also. So that's the movie.
Right. Go ahead.
I want to bring up two movies that show we don't need to pick someone that looks exactly like them. First is Looper. I thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt looked looked like Bruce Willis.
Prosthetics.
It was from Prosthetics and stuff like that. And the other movie I want to bring up is Jersey Boys. The best part about that whole movie is he aged from 15 to 60 smoothly through the movie, the actor, for Frankie Valentine. And that was done digitally. So I'm not saying cast a 60-year-old or anything like that, but if you do have to find an actor that's a little bit older, you can make them look younger and make them look like Harrison Ford in this day and age.
Well, I think the only thing that really matters is that we watch this movie, we see Han Solo and whoever else is on the screen as the characters doing the things that they're doing, and then we leave and we go, wow, I didn't know Han did that, and then that's it.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen Ant-Man yet, but people are saying de-aged Michael Douglas extremely well in the movie. So
unbelievable.
What if they just hired Harrison and de-aged Harrison? I mean, no. It's not going to look as bad as Tron did with, what's his name? I can't think of his name right now. Jeff Bridges. Yeah, I mean, I love that movie, but the de-aging wasn't
the thing about that
good.
Is...
Oh, no, he looked waxy.
Okay, yeah, I know you haven't seen Ant-Man, but that scene lasts about 2 minutes. They can't... They can't afford to do that for an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's just, it's not possible. Which, I mean, I get where you're coming from, and that would be really cool if they were just like, hey, we're going to get Harrison himself and just make him look young.
I say $2.2 billion that Force Awakens potentially could do says otherwise. I don't think they will do but they have the money for it.
They're not going to give the same amount of money that the Force Awakens got to a Han Solo anthology film.
Why not?
I don't think it'll take that much.
These are all practical effects, guys.
Shut up.
All of them.
Nicely done.
Real desert.
You know, look, I can't even tell who's saying what, but I'm with whoever says that it's watching it and understanding the spirit and feeling like that's Han Solo and that's the most important thing. It's not that's Harrison Ford or a young Harrison Ford, but it's the thing that makes Han Solo Han Solo, which is not just Harrison Ford. It's what we imagine Harrison Ford to be. It's the swagger, the personality, the scoundrel, you know, that we love, the guy who's like, I mean, he embodies the whole, he was a bad boy with a heart of gold, right? And we need to see that. So if somebody can pull that off, someone has the charisma to pull that off, I think it'll be convincing on the film if it's written well. And I think that's what's going to matter.
Well, yeah, I think that even works better the younger they go. Like, if they go for a 20-year-old Han Solo versus, like, a 30-year-old Han Solo, then it's not being compared so much directly to Harrison Ford's performance.
Well, look at how many people they had playing Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Four?
Yep.
So,
five?
Yeah. So, I mean...
Five if you count the old man?
Yeah. It'll work no matter what they do.
And six when they reboot it.
Well, have they said that they're going to go for a 20-something-year-old Han? Or
no,
we don't know.
Basically, what if we get like 13-year-old Han Solo? And then
no,
oh God. No,
I don't want that either. Trust me, I draw the cutoff at like 17. I don't want anything younger than 17.
Noah,
don't even give them ideas.
Wow,
sorry, Matt. You were
21-year-old Lucas does next. What? Fingers crossed he builds an actual Death Star. I'm reading the chat, guys. I'm so confused.
What? So are you guys opposed to large name actors in Star Wars? I mean, personally, I don't like it.
I am. I don't want a big name A-list actor. I'd rather see someone new, someone fresh that we don't know.
To me, Forrest Whitaker's too big.
He's no bigger than Liam Neeson was.
Forrest Whitaker's big, but he's not like take you out of the movie big. Like I can see him, I know he's a good actor.
Have y'all seen Southpaw?
But he won't pull me
he's
out
so good
like
in that movie.
A Bradley Cooper would or something.
I watched Southpaw, and that made okay. Well,
I haven't
hey,
seen.
I work.
We all haven't.
Okay. Anyway,
which goes to prove that he's not that A-list actor of everyone's life. What?
Yeah.
What movie?
Well, have we all seen Taken 7 yet, or no?
No, but like when A New Hope came out, Alec Guinness and James Earl Jones are both big names already. So it's not so much I'm concerned about having a big name as it is I don't want them to be driving the story the whole time. If they're on the side, they're not distracting from the story, then that's fine.
That's exactly how I feel,
too. I think some big-name actors, like Gary Oldman, I could watch a movie with him in it, and it's not taking me out, but he's a big-name actor.
Gary Oldman
does a good job of becoming that character.
He's such a good actor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some guys who transform themselves.
I mean, I didn't know
he was
in Hannibal for years. I know that's makeup and all, but...
Really?
Still.
Oh, my God.
He's the victim. Yeah, with the chewed up face.
I didn't know that for years, and I was a big Gary Oldman fan.
Oh, he's fantastic
let's just,
in that.
Since I'm for Anthony and Gruber, and what Amanda said earlier is a, this is
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Someone please send this to him.
Madness. And, and there's a plug for this show. But, all right, we're going to take a poll, like we did last time. And, okay, so, Mark.
No.
Do you think would you be?
Wait, okay, what's the question?
I'm gonna try to make this the best way possible. Anthony and Gruber gets cast as Han Solo. Would you be happy or disappointed? What about you?
I don't even know who the Amanda. Fuck he is. To be honest,
yeah,
we're still talking about this guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I hope I'm not the only one that doesn't know who he is.
Well, all right, yeah. Everyone. Hey, that's it for me. I've got to cut out.
Who's this?
This is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Ronnie boy.
Hi, Ron.
Hey,
bye,
Ron. Bye.
Bye.
Hey.
Go Asians.
Bye, Ron.
It was great talking to you guys. Go Asians. Yeah, thanks for not talking about Asians at all this whole episode. Thanks.
We'll have you back.
All right. Gonna look forward to listening to the rest.
Ron, round up eight.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Okay, so I guess...
As far as Anthony Gruber goes, I don't know who he is. If they select him to be young Han Solo or whatever, I'll assume that they saw something in him that they think will work, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But I'm not a big fan of fans or people who saw him in the age of Adeline trying to pimp him out to Lucasfilm. Let them decide.
I don't really have an opinion, yes or no, until I see it. You know, if they like you just said, Mark, if they cast him, okay, hopefully that they saw something and it's great and they'll be fine. If they don't cast him, hopefully they found somebody that will be better. You know, I just want to wait and I'll see what they do, and then that's the important part.
Okay, well, I think Anthony and Gruber should play Han Solo.
Aw. Here's the thing, Noah, about it. Like, it is a little bit unfair to like, shit on him for his YouTubing, because a lot of young actors are doing that. You know, yeah. Justin Bieber was discovered on YouTube, blah, blah, blah.
Never mind, I don't want annoying Anthony to play him. Thanks for bringing
is
it up.
Him. No, the only Thanks, issue Canada. I have with him is that he does an impression of Harrison Ford and is now trying to become
have
Harrison
you seen,
Ford.
That's have you seen of, the video?
Yes, everyone has seen
Mark
it.
Mark hadn't seen it.
We were not born yesterday. Like <you're
Amanda. laughs> Mark, have you seen
okay,
it?
Okay, here's the thing.
Mark.
I am.
Saib. Have you seen
what?
The video?
No, I don't care. What video am I supposed to be watching?
Okay.
No, seriously. What,
it,
wait.
It's his Harrison Ford impression.
I don't care.
It's okay. I feel bad because it's nothing against the guy, but I watched the video when everyone on Twitter was talking about him, and it's—I mean—you can tell he is trying to impersonate Harrison Ford. Like. It's not natural. It doesn't flow. Like, you can see it in his face. He's impersonating somebody.
Yeah, and he's a really good impressionist, so... I mean, he...
Yeah, but that's not what you want for... He's going to be Harrison Ford.
Calm down. That's what I was about to say. Yeah, I get that. Like, and that's what Johnny said. We need somebody who can act and everything like that. And... But I don't know. I don't know, man. Whatever. Y'all have destroyed me. Y'all can just finish it.
It was the Bieber comparison.
That
did it right
much.
There.
Unfollow you now.
No, if he listens to this, no one send him this because I don't want to get unfollowed. Just in case he gets cast. If he gets cast and he follows me on Twitter, are you kidding me? Like, that's gonna be amazing.
Okay, real quick. I don't understand. I mean, I do. I guess, but is it really important if somebody famous follows you?
No.
God damn. No. Y'all,
no one cares. Except for Jared being followed by Gwendolyn Christie. That is kind of cool.
That was awesome.
Thank you, Amanda.
You're welcome.
That is pretty cool because she's awesome. Yeah.
What?
So apparently the answer is it depends on the celebrity.
Yeah. If it's someone
because
in Star Wars.
Like, I got followed by Kim Kardashian, I would block her.
Yeah.
I would. I had Billy D. Williams follow me.
Hey,
and then he unfollowed
still?
Me.
Hey, aww. Me.
Aww.
What happened was he was like, it was for Dancing with the Stars. Whoever said something funny, he would follow. So I said something funny, I guess, and he followed me. Then he unfollowed me like when he left the show.
He went back on his word. That's like, not nice.
Funny. Yes, Jared.
Okay. I guess so.
I think it's cool if someone follows you who is in Star Wars. He was in one of the movies, so Gwendolyn Christie's cool. John Boyega, if he followed me, I would be really happy. Right? I think anyone here would be. Am I the only one that thinks... Yeah, but that, no, would, that, cool. that would be cool. And you would, if we're having a conversation like this, you would mention it, right? Yeah, John Boyega follows me.
Probably.
Who's on the podcast?
I didn't have to. Amanda mentioned it for me, so.
Hey, well, me and Tim talk to...
Jared, you still on?
Yeah.
I said me and Tim.
Wait, what are you saying about me? Bullock,
so.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
I talked to a lot of old white men, too.
Talk to me every day.
All right, well, I know Mark probably needs to. It's probably nighttime at the retirement home. So he's going to have to go take a nap and go to bed. So.
Hey, hey, street lights are on. You need to go to bed. don't start calling me out, kid.
Right.
Street lights are on. Dinner bells ring. I know they do that in Texas.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the war you want to start.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well.
I've been doing digs longer than you, so. Bring it. All right, anybody have any last thing they want to say or any comments or anything?
I have a quick comment. From the beginning, I'm not in spoilers, but wasn't it confirmed that Andy Serkis did the voice for the first trailer?
I believe so, yeah.
All right, so then we can confirm Snoke is, and he was confirmed as Snoke, so we can assume Snoke.
Why didn't you bring that up an hour? Right?
Well, the only thing you can't,
because other people were talking.
It may not be the final voice, though. You know, because just look at Padme's voice in the early Phantom Menace trailers. It was vastly different than her final voice for whatever reason.
Oh, her Amidala voice.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I guess more reverb. I don't know, but I mean, he confirmed that he said it, and that was his voice. But whether or not they do anything to the voice later, I don't know.
Okay, well, it's true.
It's kind of like Mark Hamill's the same way. It's the Return of the Jedi voice with his new voice reverb behind it.
Yeah.
Oh, he recorded it?
Celebration panel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you should get in touch with reality, or in the Star Wars verse, and then.
Sorry, Noah. He was at Celebration and he was busy.
Oh.
All right, who's going to D23 besides me and Amanda and Matt? I think. Matt, are you going?
What was that?
Are you going to D23?
Possibly. It depends if I get enough money within the next week.
It's already sold out.
We're on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review if you liked Amanda's dirty jokes on the show. And Anthony Gruber follows me.
Follow
Thank you, Anthony
Gruber.
we will DM later, I swear. And then I guess that's it, guys. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks a lot for coming on.
This was fun.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah,
no
problem. We're live right now. Yeah, we have 11.
Hey, are we live or no?
What?
Well, then cut it.
Well, okay, we're about to cut it.
I want to talk to the group. Cut it.
You need to say a proper goodbye to the people.
Yeah, the proper goodbye is thank you for listening. We appreciate you listening. And
please continue listening.
Please continue listening. There's a lot of people who would like to be on this podcast, so we'll have another one for sure. But we certainly appreciate all of you. And any questions, send it to TIM Podcast
or email us
on Twitter.
That's crazytalkpod@hotmail.com. That was the old name. Yeah, but it was before. Remember when I was killing the game that one night, and I made the Twitter, the everything, the graphics, and that's whenever I made the email, and it was going to be That's Crazy Talk, but then we changed it, obviously, and I was like, whatever. That's how I got Johnny's email. So don't. Yes, we are.
Are we ending just with your
everyone
techno jam?
Just know. Oh, that techno jam, the one I made the next day. Yeah, which is amazing, right? Like, is it just me? Or is that, like, awesome?
I'm not in Texas, brother.
Later, guys.
Welcome
to This Is Madness.
He destroys the shore.